Let's take our Bibles this evening, and I'd like us to turn to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. I'd like us to begin reading at verse 24. Tonight is prophecy night, as I think everybody here is aware of that. And I want to begin reading at verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Thank you, and you can be seated. I believe, as I mentioned earlier this week, that Daniel chapter 9 is the most important prophecy in Scripture, by my opinion. There are many other prophecies, but many of them tie in some way to this prophecy. And it tells us the exact time when Jesus would die on the cross, 483 years before he did. And it happened. It prophesies the season when Jesus is going to come back to earth again, and he is going to come back to earth again. Now, I believe that we're the generation that's going to be on earth when the Lord comes back. And if you will hear the message and just stay with me, you'll at least see why I believe that. And as we look at this prophecy, I believe that you will understand how time is so short and how close we are to the Lord's return. Now, if you're somebody who has never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you may be somebody that you're just looking it over and you're wondering, is it all true or not? And I say, why wouldn't you wonder? Because there's so many people that say that there's no God, and there's so many people that mock the Bible and all who follow Jesus, and no wonder you would have some doubts. But I believe with all my heart that if you'll just hear the word of God tonight, to let the Bible speak for itself, you'll see that the Bible is trustworthy and the Jesus of the Bible truly is the way of salvation. And there's some that are skeptics that need some proof or some help, and tonight is one of those messages that's a faith builder. Now, if you're somebody who is a Christian, but the devil is kind of trying to attack your faith, the devil does that too. And I do want to remind you that just because you have your faith attacked doesn't mean that God is done with you. If you remember John the Baptist was in prison. He was in a very difficult situation. And in that very difficult situation, John the Baptist sent two of his followers to Jesus and said, "Are you he that should come?" Now here's the guy who said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And the devil was good enough with his fiery darts of doubt that he even got the one that identified Jesus to be the Messiah in the first place, the forerunner of Jesus, to have some doubts. Now, if John the Baptist can have doubts, can we have doubts? And so the devil is constantly trying to attack. And as the devil attacks even a Christian, this is a faith builder. If you will listen to the word of God, this is a faith builder. Now, as with that kind of an introduction, let's go ahead and get into this great prophecy of the 70 weeks of Daniel. Now, the first thing that I need to tell us is there's a 70-week period over which these events are going to take place, culminating with this, the Son of God coming and returning in power and glory. Now, 70 weeks, usually a week is 7 days, but in this prophecy, a week is 7 years. So 70 times 7 would normally be 490 days, but this prophecy is taking place over a 490-year period. Everybody follow that? So over 490 years, 77-year periods, than the return of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to see what is the concern, what the prophecy's about, and then we're going to look at the calendar, and then we'll close by looking at the coming Christ. And so now we're going to get into this prophecy. Now let's look at the concern. All right, first of all, I want you to notice the people of this prophecy. Notice verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Now Daniel was a Jew, so his people are the Jews. So in order to understand the prophecy, you have to keep your eyes on who? The Jews. And so if you want to know what's going on, you have to look at the Jews because it all involves the Jews. Now the second thing that it concerns, the place. All right, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, the Jew, and upon thy holy city, Jerusalem. So it has to do with the Jews not living in Manhattan, not living necessarily in the United States, not even the outer parts of Israel, but the Jews that are living in Jerusalem. So the third thing that I want you to notice, this in concerns, it has a purpose. Now in verse 24, it tells us six purposes, but the main one I want to emphasize is the sixth purpose. But let's go ahead and read it. Verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, the Jews, and upon thy holy city, Jerusalem, for this purpose. One, to finish the transgression. Transgression means the rebellion. And that's the rebellion that the Jews had against Jesus when they crucified him, their Messiah. To make an end of sin, secondly. Somebody says, wouldn't it be great if there was no sin in the world? Well, praise God, one day there won't be. God is going to bring all sin to an end. And then it says to make reconciliation for iniquity. Now, reconciliation is to bring two people that are separated from each other back together again. Now, who is separated? Man is separated from God. But Jesus came to reconcile us to God. Now, if you've never been saved, I'm just throwing this in. The Bible talks about the need for you to be reconciled all through it. And if you have never been forgiven of your sins, then you're separated from God. And you need a Savior to bring you back to God. And even this prophecy points that out among many other scripture verses. So this tells us the purpose is to tell us when and how reconciliation will take place. And that's through Jesus Christ, as we'll see in a minute. Now then it says to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy, to finish all prophecies. Now notice the last purpose, to anoint the most holy. To anoint the most holy. Now, who is the most holy? Anybody. It is Jesus Christ. So when we say that this prophecy is to tell us when Jesus is returning, that's what it's for. Now, first, we've seen what it concerns. Now, secondly, let's look at the calendar. Now, there are 490 years, and over that 490-year period, it will have certain events take place, and the culmination of it in the prophecy will be the anointing of Jesus as the Messiah. Now, as you look at this, let's break apart the activities of the 490-year period into two main sections. Now, the first section, and you've got to think a little bit, we're going to look at the first 69 weeks. Now, then we're going to look at the 70th week in the second section. Now somebody says, well, why don't you break it up into smaller pieces and look at the first 35 weeks, we'll digest them, and then look at the second 35 weeks once we get the first 35 weeks. Break it up in smaller packages. All right, why are we doing it this way? The first 69 weeks and then the 70th week. Here's the reason. The first 69 weeks have already happened. They're done. And they happen just like they were prophesied. Now, here's why I take time on this. How many of you have ever heard that you can learn from history? Anybody ever heard that? And as you learn from history, you can save yourself a lot of mistakes in the future. And you can see if something happens consistently in history, then you can be sure it'll probably happen again. Now, here is what we're looking at tonight. If you're somebody who is a skeptic, again, why wouldn't you be? You've got everybody telling you that those of us that follow Jesus are just dumb bunnies that just don't know things, hanging on to some false hope. Now, hear me. 70 weeks are promised. And think about this. 69 weeks have already happened, as I'm going to show you, and I will show you they happened just like they were prophesied. And here's my thinking. If the first 69 weeks happened just like they were prophesied, wouldn't we stand to believe that the 70th week would probably happen too? And so this will not be a waste of time. This is a faith builder. And if we understand we can believe this prophecy, and we can, then I do believe that we'll understand at the end when we come to the conclusion that Jesus is coming soon and we need to take this thing seriously, that it's not just hyper-sensationalism. It's not just somebody trying to get us to believe in something that's not true. We have a Bible that's told us these things, and if 69 out of 70 happen, we can be sure the 70th will. Now let's take a look at that first section and learn from history. Now, I'm going to break apart, as this passage does, the first 69 weeks in three different groups. Now, it starts with a decree, and that decree is to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. Now, look at verse 25. Know, therefore, and understand. We need to know this, and we can. He says, understand it. So you can. And there's some prophecies you think, well, those are too hard to understand. Well, they're not. We can get it. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of a commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 72 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. Now it says there's going to be a decree that will be given by a king to rebuild the city of Jerusalem and the temple, rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. Now, when Daniel got this prophecy, Daniel was in captivity in Babylon. Now, it would be like we would be taken captive by Iran or Iraq, and we would be taken out of this country, and America would be destroyed by nuclear weapons or something. And then we get good news. America's going to get rebuilt again, and you can go back to America, and it'll form again, and you'll go back to the old way of freedom, one nation under God. Now, how many of you, if we were taken captive and we found out we'd be able to go back to America, would be pretty excited? Well, this is Daniel in captivity, and he finds out good news. The city's going to be rebuilt again, and that must have really excited him. Now, the decree is the beginning of the 70 weeks of Daniel prophecy. Now, sort of like January 1st is the beginning of our calendar year. And then you count the days, 365 days, then you start a new year. Well, this decree is the January 1st for the understanding of the prophecy. And 490-year period, things will happen through that. Now, when does that decree take place? How many remember in Nehemiah that Nehemiah went before the king, was sad, and the king said, why are you sad? He said, because my city lieth waste. King said, okay, what do you want? He said, Lord, tell me what to do. And God said, ask him. So he said, help me rebuild Jerusalem. And I have no means to pay for it. Please, supply the funds for this and protection so it can be done. And the king made a decree, Nehemiah chapter 2, rebuild your city and your temple, and I'll pay for it. Now, that was the beginning of the 70 weeks of Daniel. And March 14th, 445 BC, is the date for that. And from there, we go on to the second part of this prophecy. Now, the second part of the prophecy is there will be the appearance of the Messiah and the death of the Messiah. Now, before we get into that, I want to mention this. The beginning, March 14th, 445 BC, took place 100 years after Daniel was given the prophecy. And here's what I want us to understand. Daniel was dead before the prophecy ever even began. And so Daniel wasn't even alive when these things started. And we are alive. And some of the events that are taking place haven't happened yet, but they're about to happen in our lifetime. And what I'm saying is that this prophecy was probably even more in the Bible for our benefit than it even is for Daniel's, because he wasn't even alive when this thing even was beginning to take place. Now, it started with the decree, and then the second part will be the death of the Messiah. Notice verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of a commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, March 14, 445 BC, unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Now, so here's what he's told. See if it happened. A decree is going to go to rebuild Jerusalem. Did it happen? Yes or no? And it did, just as it was prophesied. But then it says there'll be 62 weeks or 69 weeks, and then Messiah will be revealed. Now, I'm not saying this to show you how smart I am. I read, so that's why I know what this is. The Jewish calendar is different than ours. Ours is 365 days, theirs is 360 days. 360 times 69, 173,880 days. So you've got 69 weeks of sevens, and you add the 360 days a year, it comes up to 173,880 days. Now here's why I bring that up. If you look at when Jesus was revealed to be the Messiah, do you know how many days it was from the decree? This is amazing. It was 173,880 days to the day. That's a big deal. And this is why I say this is a faith builder. Now, when was Jesus accepted as the Messiah? Here's when it was: the triumphal entry. Now, in the triumphal entry, everybody put down palm branches and they said, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And they were identifying him as King, the Messiah. And they recognized him in a large group, for the first time in a large group, to be the Messiah. They knew their Messiah was going to ride in on the back of a colt that had never been ridden. He was riding in a colt, never been ridden. And they were actually looking for the Messiah to appear on that day. Now you say, how do you know that? Question, do you think that the Jews knew their history? And they would have known their history like we know our history in the United States, but better. And they would have known March 14th, 445 BC, and Daniel's prophecy happened. The decree went to rebuild the temple. And then they would have said, maybe we can trust the rest of this prophecy. And 173,880 days from now, Messiah is supposed to appear. Now, I know that they were looking for Messiah. How? When Jesus was talking to the woman of Samaria at the well, she said, the Samaritan, we know that Messiah should come. John the Baptist sent his disciples and he says, are you he that should come? And others made reference to this. And why were so many people looking at the gate that when this one walked in or rode in on the back of a donkey, they said, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna, because they were looking for him to appear riding a donkey on that day. And so when he walks in, they put down the coats and the palm branches, identifying him as royalty. Now, how do we know that it happened to the day? All right, the Bible tells us. All right, take your Bibles, and I want you to turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Now, John chapter 3 tells us when Jesus got baptized, and this is why we know. Actually, it's not John chapter 3. I think it's Luke chapter 3. Let's turn to Luke chapter 3. And it shows us when Jesus got baptized and the time period. All right, Luke 3, now verse 1. It says, now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar. Now, if you go to Wikipedia, and Wikipedia is never wrong, right? But if you go to Wikipedia and you type in Tiberius Caesar, it will tell you that he began to reign in 14
AD.
Now the 15th year would be AD 29. So here it is. Jesus was baptized in AD 29. That's kind of cool when you think about that. Now, from there, we have four Passovers in the harmony of the gospel. AD 29, 30, 31, 32. So AD 32 was the fourth Passover and the last one that Jesus experienced when he was on earth. And here's the exciting thing. He celebrated the Passover. He went out to Bethany a Sabbath. He came back in the next day on this day and the day after that, and it was the Passover in that year of AD 32 was Nisan 8, a Friday. Saturday, he celebrated the Sabbath in Bethany, and then he entered back into Jerusalem the next day, and that would be Nisan 10. Now, Nisan, for them, is our calendar April. And ours, being a little different with the 365 days a year period, would be April 6, AD 32. So with all of this coming together, Jesus came in April 6, AD 32. You know what you have between March 14, 445 BC through April 6, AD 32? This is a faith builder. You have 173,880 days to the day. That's a wow. Now, here's why I'm saying this. If I were to give you a prophecy that next week on Tuesday, you're going to go at 2 p.m. into McDonald's and you're going to order a quarter pound with cheese, and the lady behind the counter is going to be wearing a red blouse and a green skirt, and she's going to tell you, she's going to give you your food, and she's going to mess up and she's going to give you a fillet of fish. Now, you'd be thinking, there's no way that I'm going to go in there next week and get this fillet of fish. I'll prove that preacher to be wrong. So then you go in and you eat at 12 noon at a buffet. And you eat all that you can eat, and you can't fit any more food in your mouth. And you think, I'll show that preacher I'm not going to eat anything. I'm not going to eat anything at 2 p.m. I'll prove that preacher his prophecy's wrong. And so anyway, the next day, the next week at 12 noon, you go eat and you eat, and you couldn't put another bite in your stomach. And so then you're thinking about 1:15 when you're done eating. Well, I'll prove that preacher he's wrong. I couldn't eat another bite. And then you're driving down the road, and as you're thinking about that crazy preacher, you get lost. And let's say you don't have a GPS, so you think, where am I? And you're kind of lost and confused. You think, oh, well, I'll just drive until I see something that I recognize. And as you're driving, you're lost and you're not finding your way. And then finally, it's about 1:58. And you see up in front of you that there's a McDonald's. And you think, well, that's weird, but I'm not pulling in. I couldn't eat another bite. And you pull up to McDonald's and there's a red light. You have to stop. And you say, well, that's weird, 1:59, and there's a McDonald's there, but I am not going to eat anything. I couldn't eat another bite. And then the clock turns 2 o'clock, and your stomach goes, and you think, well, maybe I'll get something to eat. And you pull in. You think, boy, that's weird. Well, I'm here. Let me grab something. So you say, I think I'll get a Big Mac. Boy, why did I do that? And then you pull up, and she has a red blouse and a green skirt, and you open your bag, and sure enough, it has a fillet of fish. Now, wouldn't you be going, Now, this is how this is, a wow. Now, I am not writing the Bible. I am preaching the Bible. And if you're somebody who is a skeptic, again, I remind you, why wouldn't you be? With so many people attacking the Word of God. But I am telling you, you cannot get lucky like this prophecy. 173,880 days to the day. Now, somebody says, well, it doesn't calculate that with my calculations that we've had that many days between those two dates. Well, when you add on 116 days for leap year and you add on 24 inclusive days, you get it to the day. Now, here's the decree. It happened. 173,880 days later, Messiah will appear, and he did to the day. And then after that, there's the prophecy, the death of the Messiah. Now, somebody says, well, it didn't happen just like the prophecy. The prophecy said Messiah was going to die, and he didn't die in the day of the triumphal entry. All right, let's turn back to Daniel 9, and I'll see that it happened just like it was prophesied. It says, unto the Messiah, the prince, he's going to be revealed on that day, and he was. But then it says, and after that shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. So get it. Unto the Messiah, to the day he's going to be revealed, and he was. And then after that, a short period of that, he'll be cut off. In a few days after the triumphal entry, Jesus was cut off. But notice this section. It says, but not for himself. Now here's the question. Not for himself. Not for himself. What's that mean? That means that Jesus didn't die. Ladies and gentlemen, friends, folks, visitors, Jesus didn't die for what he did. He died for somebody else. And who would that be? That would be you and that would be me. Now, friends, listen. All the scripture validates itself, but all the scripture points to the idea that you have to be reconciled to God. You need a Savior. He died, but not for himself, and that shows that you need a Savior. We all need a Savior. Now, first there'll be a decree, second the death of the Messiah, and then it says the destruction of Jerusalem. Now notice verse 26, it says, and after 62 weeks, here's we're looking at prophecy, it's a faith builder, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And what's the next word? It's the word and. Now, you know what and means? After that. Here's the next thing God's going to reveal. Not immediately, but shortly after that, what will happen? The people of the prince that will come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Now, Daniel, Jerusalem's going to get rebuilt. It was. Then the Messiah is going to appear on this day, and he did. And after that, he's going to be cut off, and he was, but not for himself. And he didn't die for his sin, he died for ours. Then Daniel, the people of the prince that shall come are going to destroy this city that just got rebuilt and this temple that just got rebuilt. So good news, it'll get rebuilt, but then it's going to get destroyed again. Now, when did this take place? And it did happen. How many ever heard of 70 AD, what Titus did to the nation of Israel and to Jerusalem, 70 AD. All right, for those of you who don't know, Titus in 70 AD surrounded the city of Jerusalem with armies, wouldn't let anybody go in or anybody come out, and so they would starve for no food going in. Nobody could go out for help. Nobody could come in to give help. And after they got weak and hungry, Titus and his men went in and crushed them. And they totally destroyed the city and they totally demolished the temple. Now this prophecy said, shortly after Jesus would be crucified, then the city would be destroyed and it would be destroyed by a certain person or a group of people. The people of the prince that shall come. Now, who is the prince that shall come? And this is prophecy, so yeah, we're talking a little deep, but we can get it. Know therefore and understand. It's a faith builder. Now, who's the people of the prince that shall come? Well, you got to know who the prince of the prince that will come is talking about. Now, some people think that's Jesus. It's not. It's Antichrist. Now, where is Antichrist supposed to come from? Revelation chapter 19, Rome. Now, for years, people have been preaching that the Antichrist is going to come from Rome. And get this. This is a faith builder. And my whole objective, if nothing else, is to help you to see, and us all to be built in our faith, it's a faith builder. The Romans are then are the ones who are going to destroy the city. Now get this. Daniel was a Jew, so his people were the Jews. I'm an American, my people are the Americans. The Antichrist is from Rome, his people are the Romans. And so it was prophesied that the Romans would destroy the city, and they did. That's a wow. Now, when you look at all this, it tells us that we can believe this prophecy. Now, as we look at this, I want to go ahead and see this, verse 26. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end thereof shall be with the flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. Now that word desolation, we're going to come back and look at that in just a little bit. Now Jesus doesn't, the book of Daniel doesn't say much what these desolations are. It just says desolations are determined. Remember that word, desolations. So they don't really say or know what they're going to be. But then Jesus actually preaches, I believe, on Daniel 9 in Luke 21. And he expounds on Daniel chapter 9. Let's go ahead and turn to Luke 21, and I want you to see something. And again, I keep saying this, but it's a faith builder. When you see this, it's a wow. It's incredible that we see it play out just like it was prophesied, and the specificity of it and the exactness of it in what outplays and the time it outplays is going to add credibility to the final point that tells us when Jesus is coming and it's our generation. So you're laying the foundation for faith so we can believe all of this prophecy. Now in Luke 21, Jesus is at the temple with his disciples, and the disciples are saying, Jesus, look how wonderful and beautiful the temple is, and look at how many beautiful stones there are. And it's like Jesus says, what are you so excited about? This temple's going to be destroyed. Daniel told you that. I want you to see that in verse 5, Luke 21. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he, Jesus, said, as for these things which ye look at or behold, the day will come in the which there shall not be one stone left upon another that shall not be thrown down. Here's what he said. Not one stone would be left. Do you know what the Romans did? They took their swords and they turned over every stone in that temple. Why? They scraped the gold off and they didn't want to lose any of the gold. And just as it was prophesied, it happened. Now, verse 7, they asked him, saying, Master, when shall these things be? What sign shall there be when these things shall come to pass? It's like they say, oh yeah, Daniel said that. This thing's going to be destroyed. When's it going to happen? And he tells them. Now look at verse 21 or verse 20. He says, when ye see thee, Jerusalem, compassed about with armies, then know that, notice the terminology, the desolation thereof is nigh. Now notice the definite article, the word the. It didn't say a, it's a the. And you know what that means? It's a specific one. Everybody follow me? Now, I know some of this is, it's amazing though. It's a little deep, but we can get it. The desolation, not a desolation, a specific one. And what he's saying is, the one prophesied in Daniel, it's near. When you see the city surrounded by armies. Now remember I told you, you know what they did in 70 AD? Surrounded the city with their armies. That's a wow. Now, when he went on, he said in verse 21, then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountain. Let them which are in the midst of it depart out. Let not them which are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance. Finish the transgression, crushing the rebellion for crucifying the Messiah. That all things which are written, where? Daniel chapter 9, may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child and give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people, the Jew, the land, Jerusalem, and they, verse 24, the Jew shall fall under the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem, the city, shall be trodden down to the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled or complete. Now, Jesus said certain things would happen. He said they will fall by the edge of the sword. You know what happened in 70 AD? Just as prophesied, 1.1 million Jews were killed by the sword. That's how they died. And then it says they would be let out of the city. And they were. How many ever heard of the dispersion? There are Jews that went in Germany. How'd they get there? 70 AD. Jews in Poland. How'd they get there? 70 AD. Jews in America. How? They got spread all over the world in 70 AD. Because they were let out captive and spread across the world so that they would no longer be a nation. Rome wanted to demolish the nation. And they did a great job because it did not exist as a nation until 1948. That is almost 1900 years. That is over seven times the existence of the length that the United States has been in power and we've been alive as a country. Now think of it. God's word said it would get overthrown. The temple would be turned over. Not one stone would be left. They would have millions, over a million of them would be thrust through with a sword, and they were, and then they would be dispersed among the nation, and it was. And the city Jerusalem, get it, will be taken over by Gentile powers until the Gentile power season is over. And you know what happened since 1970 until 1948? The city was totally controlled just by Gentiles. That's, again, a wow. Now, can we believe the prophecy? Now, all of these things tell us we can. And we've looked at the first 69 weeks. Now let's look at the 70th week real quickly. All right, let's look at Daniel chapter 9. Stay with me. Daniel chapter 9, 70 weeks are determined, and then notice verse 27. It says, and he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. All right, the Antichrist now is going to confirm a covenant. Now in verse 26, the people of the prince that shall come will destroy the city. The Romans will destroy Jerusalem, and they did. Verse 27, and he, the Antichrist, shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. Now notice the rest, and we'll explain the covenant. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Now, if you look up here, after you read it if you want, a little bit more, it's fine. But the oblation and the sacrifice, you know what that's talking about? Worship in the temple. What do they do in the temple? They kill animals. Blood sacrifice. Oblations. And you know what this is talking about? The Jews are going to have their temple if they're going to have oblations and sacrifices. Now, the prophecy is then, the 70th week, the temple's going to evidently get rebuilt again. And the Jews are going to get to sacrifice in the temple again. Now, I didn't say this, and I need to. First 69 weeks already happened just like they were prophesied. That's a wow. You can learn from history, and if the first 69 weeks happened already, then we can be sure the 70th week is going to happen. And now we're looking at what's going to happen in the future. It hasn't happened yet. That temple is about to be rebuilt, and I'll tell you about it. And this is an indicator that we're very near the 70th week. Now, while we're on this, tribulation period, how long is it supposed to last? 7 years, 1 week. The 70th week of Daniel is the tribulation period. And it begins with the covenant. The Antichrist signs a covenant with many that the Jews can rebuild their temple and start the blood sacrifice, and they could do it for 7 years. Now let me tell you how this is playing out, just to show you how close we are to the Lord's return. When I was in Israel in 2009, I got to go to what they call the Temple Institute. You know what that is? There's a rabbi who's not even a believer in Jesus who said, we need to rebuild our temple. And you know what that rabbi did? He got organized, and so now they've got the golden menorah. They put $16 million worth of gold in it to get ready for the worship in the temple. Now, do you put $16 million of gold in something you don't plan to use? When I was there, I saw the blueprints for the new temple with my own eyes. There was a little box there. You could put some money in it if you wanted to. So I threw a few dollars in it, and when that thing gets built, I help pay for it. And then my guide took me to the Temple Mount, and this is where Jesus will go through the Eastern Gate and go set up his millennial kingdom by going into the temple. And you know what? When I was there, he said to me, "Mike, I want you to do something. Close your eyes." I closed my eyes. He said, "Now let me move you where I want to move you." I said, "Okay." And he moved me, and he put my back right to the Eastern Gate. And this is the gate that Jesus is going to go through, and he's going to enter into the temple. And he said, "Now keep your eyes shut." So I did. And then when I opened my eyes, he said, "Open your eyes." I opened my eyes, and he said, "Now what do you see?" I said, "Nothing." He said, "Right. What's that mean?" I said, "I don't know." And he said, "Well, where is the Dome of the Rock?" I said, "It's over there." He said, "Right. What's that mean?" I said again, "I don't know." I said, "What's it mean?" He says, "That means that the Muslims built the Dome of the Rock in the wrong spot. They built it where they thought that Jesus, that Abraham offered Isaac, they thought it was Ishmael. But that was the wrong spot." And how do we know? Because Jesus went right through the Eastern Gate into the temple, which was built where Abraham offered Isaac. And you know what? They built it in the wrong spot. That's incredible. And you know what he then said? He said, "We looked up here. There's enough room right here for us to build our temple. They can keep their Dome of the Rock. And we can build our temple." And you know what? When I read Daniel 9, it says, "He shall confirm a covenant with many." Why not with the Jews? Here's what I believe. He's going to confirm a covenant with the Jews and the Muslims. He's going to say, "Look, the Jews just want this little section for their temple. You can keep your Dome of the Rock. Let's end this 2,000 plus year old battle between Palestinians and Jews, and let's make a covenant that everybody can worship as they please, and that covenant will be for 7 years. They keep their Dome of the Rock, the Jews build their temple," and halfway through he's going to break the covenant and he's going to try to kill the Jews, and then things transpire where the Jesus comes and he delivers the Jews and sets up his millennial kingdom. But all of this is showing it's played out just as prophesied. Now the 70th week of Daniel, the tribulation period, there are other events. The sun's going to get so hot that people get scorched with second, third degree burns. Other events. The Bible says that there will be noisome and grievous sores that people will get on their body. They'll try to cut them out of their body and not be able to get them all. The Bible says men will seek death because of all the pain, but death will flee from them. They will cry for the rocks to fall on them to die, but they will not die. And the Bible says that the bottomless pit will vomit up these demonic beasts. And they've got the face of a man, hair like a woman, teeth like a lion, an iron chest, a tail like a scorpion, and they latch onto people in the tribulation and they sting them. And the pain is the pain of a scorpion sting. And you don't want to live through the tribulation period. Now, if all of the events took place in the first 69 weeks, we can be sure that the 70th week is going to happen, and that is the calendar. Now, first you have the concern, the Jews in Jerusalem, the purpose to tell us when the king would be anointed, when Jesus will come. Secondly, we've seen the calendar. And in closing, now we have the fun part where we're about to wrap this up. You see the coming Christ. Now turn back here to Daniel 9, just very quickly in verse 26. What's the very last prophecy actually in verse 24? It says, "To anoint the most," what? And who is that? Jesus. Now, this is telling us that Jesus will be cut off, but then it says we'll anoint him as a king. You know what that means? You can't anoint a dead man. So it's also prophesying he'll rise from the dead, and he did. Now, this is where we're going to fast forward. It doesn't say anything about the details of Christ's return all that much, except that it does say he will be anointed as the most holy. But I look at Luke 21, and I see Jesus expounding on Daniel 9, and so we're going to learn from Luke 21 that we are the generation that will be on earth when Jesus returns. And let's go ahead and look at that. Look at Luke 21, and we'll spend the rest of the message here. for just a few moments. Now, notice that there is often a break of 100 years between a couple of verses. There may be a big break of things that'll happen between even things in one verse. Now, verse 24, until the time the Gentiles be fulfilled, 70 AD, the Jews took over the city of Jerusalem. They're going to continue controlling that city until that time is done. Now then, verse 25, what's the next word? And. What's that mean? The next thing I'm going to reveal is this. After this, here's the next thing I'm going to reveal to you. And I believe there are 2,000 years between verse 24 and 25. Now, often in the Bible, there are double applications for prophecy. Some of this is tribulation, but some of this is telling us that we're the generation when Jesus is going to return. Now, look at verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun, in the moon, in the stars, upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, get it. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, does power and great glory sound like a kingdom to you? Now, when is this going to happen? There'll be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. Now, you've seen the blue moons are very unusual. I'm not saying that everything that's going on with the blue moons being prophesied is accurate, but it's unusual to have so many blue moons. I'm also telling you this. It says there'll be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. Now, how many of you don't make this up, heard scientists say that stars are lined up to start falling and hitting our planet? Now, if you heard that, would you raise your hand? See, I'm not the only one. You've heard it back there. They've heard it up here. And you know what, folks? One of the very first events prophesied in Revelation 6 in the tribulation period, the stars of heaven will fall to the earth as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs in the shaking of the wind. And you know what? There's a sign going on in the way the stars are lining up to hit the planet. I read National Geographic magazine, which is not a Christian periodical, by the way. And they had on the front cover, scientists have charted over 500 large meteors that are lined up to hit our planet within the next 26 years. That's never happened before. Signs in the sun, moon, and stars. And then it says, and upon the earth, distress of nations. I don't think there's ever been a distress of nations with perplexity like there has been of late. If you say the wrong thing, if you tweet the wrong thing, if you do the wrong thing, we are at nuclear war. Finances across this world, it's like the Kerplunk game. If you pull the wrong straw, the marbles fall. And if you pull the wrong economic move, if one country like Greece falls, America's affected. If one person says the wrong thing in America, China's stock market is affected. And that's what I would call perplexity of nations. But then it goes on, and it says something outstanding. Verse 28 first, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads. Your redemption, you Jews, draweth nigh. Now verse 29, and he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. Now, how many of you are looking forward for this rain to be done in this winter? You know what you look for every day? You look for the trees to be budding a little bit. They're not even doing it yet. I think they all died. And we're all going to die. No, I'm kidding. But the sea and the waves roaring and all these things, they're part of this idea of the budding, but it says you look at the trees and you see the trees budding and you know that summer's near, right? It's spring, then it's going to come summer, and you can discern the season by the budding of the tree. Now it says, and the fig tree, when they now shoot forth. Now figs are different. Fig trees don't have buds, they shoot forth little sprouts at the base of it. Now, God is saying when you see the budding of the fig, these things beginning to bud, know that the kingdom is near. But specifically, I believe he's talking about the nation, not the nation of Israel, but the city of Jerusalem in the nation of Israel. Now, I can give you three definite references in the Old Testament that Israel is called a fig tree. And God is saying, when you see Israel coming again, and specifically Jerusalem being with Jews in it again, that would be the budding of the fig tree. Now, if the prophecy of Daniel is the Jews in Jerusalem, if he says Jerusalem will be under the Gentile power, the city, Jerusalem, and then he says when it buds again, I'm saying consistent with the prophecy, it's got to be Jerusalem. And you know what he's saying? When you see Jerusalem budding again with Jews, you know that Jesus' return is near. Now, I want you to see this, and then I'm going to explain something. Let me explain it first. When I was in Israel, in Jerusalem, I saw there were four regions, four sections. And you know what? Two are still controlled by Arabs. But two are controlled by Jews. And you know what that is? That means the Jews are back in the city and they weren't there for 1900 years. That's a big deal. And when you consider that they're in two of the four regions, that's a big deal. You know why? That means they're budding. They're not full bloom. And when you see the Jews back in that city when they've been taken out, know that the kingdom of God is nigh. Now let me show you three words, and then we're about to wrap this up. You say, praise God. But I want you to go back to verse 20. Notice three words. It says, and when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Now notice three words. When, know, nigh. So when you see that city surrounded by armies, and they were, you can know that the desolation, when they come in and destroy everybody and they kill over a million and they led you off and they'll put you in different countries and Jerusalem's going to be taken over by Gentiles, know that that is near, and it happened. So do you think Jesus was trying to warn them when it was going to happen? Sure he was. Now notice what he says to us today, verse 29. Behold the fig trees, when they all knew shoot forth. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. When, know, nigh. Now verse 31, so likewise, just like this, you can learn from the trees that you're in the season of spring, just like this. When you see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is nigh. You know what he's trying to tell us? When you see the budding, you know spring's near. And sure enough, as you see that, when you see the Jews go back in Jerusalem, you can know that the kingdom of God is near. That's what he believes he's saying. And I want you to see something, folks, that is very, very serious to me. And this is the whole point of the sermon. And somebody says, well, why didn't you just preach this 10 hours ago and we could have gone home? Because you have to understand the foundation. This is prophecy. So yeah, it's a little deep sometimes. But you have to understand the prophecy foundation that you can trust the prophecy, and then you can trust this too. Because it's right there in the prophecy. Now notice what the whole purpose of the message, verse 32. Verily I say unto you, now it's in red ink, so who's talking? So verily, what's it mean? I'm telling you the truth. I'm not lying. That's what he's basically saying. Verily I say unto you, this generation, what generation, that sees the budding of the fig tree, the Jew back in Jerusalem, if I'm interpreting that correctly, I believe I am. This generation that sees the Jews go back into Jerusalem shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. And that all being fulfilled, I believe, is that Daniel 9 prophecy, the anointing of the king. So here's what it's saying. That's very serious to me. It says the generation that sees the Jew go back into Jerusalem, that generation won't die until Jesus comes and is anointed king. That's a serious thing to me. Now, the key to that thing is, what does generation mean? Some say 52 years. Some say 70 years. Some say 80 years. I don't believe any of that. I'm not the authority, but I don't believe it. Here's what I think it means. How many have ever heard of World War I generation? Are any of those fighters and nurses still alive? From what I understand, that generation's all passed off. How about this? Have you ever heard of the World War II generation? They say that's the best generation ever. Now, question, are any of the men and women that fought and served in World War II still alive? That generation has not passed away completely. And so what I'm saying, generation, I believe, is somebody who was alive in 1967 when the Jews went into Jerusalem will still be alive when Jesus comes back. So we're in that generation. And I believe that God wrote this for us so we could understand that when we are in that generation, that we're coming to the end of this thing called the church age, and Jesus is going to come soon, and we're running out of time. Now, people are living to be 120 years old, some of them now. So somewhere after 1967, 120 years from then or less, Jesus will be coming. We are there. It's at the door. Now, you don't have to agree with everything that I'm teaching tonight, but I'm telling you this. He is coming. I believe that I've given evidence to us, and I used to think, well, I'm not going to preach on that because people think I'm setting dates. You know what I'm doing? I'm setting a season, and by the way, I didn't set it. God did. And it says, just as the spring, you know that the Lord is coming when you see the Jews go back into Jerusalem, if I'm interpreting that accurately. But Jesus is coming, and you need to be ready, and all evidence points to being soon. And this should affect us. One, if you're a skeptic, if you look at all the evidences that point to this prophecy and it come, they came to fruition, you can trust the Bible. And so that should affect you, and that if you've never been saved, you should get saved. And those of us who are saved, it should affect us to live like we're living in the last days. Let's bow our heads and we'll have a word of prayer.